Heavenly Father, we are at your mercy. We have come here in response to your call. We open up our hearts and minds so that you might plant your word deep inside us, and by your Spirit bring out good fruit as you transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all this for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the past year and a half, as I watch the news, I at times find myself both very encouraged and very discouraged and dismayed. Encouraged because I see in the news news that is difficult and hard to hear, whether it's the devastating number of women that have come forward to openly talk about ways that they have been assaulted. Discouraged, though, that how we have ended up demonizing men. Encouraged that we are talking about politics and the consequences of the choices of our leaders. Discouraged that the way that left and right are polarized, the way that we look at someone with a different economic policy, view of policies than us, as enemies, as evil. Jesus came to expose evil and to destroy the works of the devil. And this is the work that is being done, and we rejoice when we see it happening. And yet when we easily separate humanity into good and evil, we cover over the true nature of the problem, the scandal. We get people off the hook from looking inside their own hearts. We get ourselves off the hook from looking inside our own hearts. And what's worse, as we heard in the lesson today, we tell Jesus that he is wrong. Jesus' parable today describes a world that is a mix of good and evil. And at times, initially, the good and the evil is hard to tell apart. Indeed, Jesus says that until he returns, we are not able to separate them, whether that's in the world or in the church. This must affect how we look at ourselves, how we look at others, how we go about working for good in the world, and why we do that. But in the end, we remember that Jesus Christ, is the only one who can permanently and effectively deal with evil. And this is why we turn to him to save us. Now, very likely the weed that is referred to here is darnel, or Lolium tremulentum. Everywhere that there is wheat in the world, this weed is present. And through most of its growth, it is almost impossible to tell apart from wheat. It's a mimic plant. It has learned to disguise itself as wheat, so that when all the plants are harvested, its seed will be harvested as well and then replanted. It disguises itself as wheat so that it will be harvested and reseeded. Once the seed heads are maturing, it is easier to tell it apart. But at that point, it's too late. The roots of both the wheat and the darnel are intertwined. Modern farming practices in much of the world mean that this weed has been eradicated, except in countries in Africa and Southeast Asia. Darnel is bitter and toxic. In small quantities, apparently, it is reported to have the effect of a recreational drug. It affects one's perception. It clouds judgment. And perhaps some people here would be saying, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. But it also causes nausea. It's less good. And it is lethal. Even less good. The most effective way of keeping this weed from spreading is to separate at harvest time and ensure that all of it is destroyed so that none of it gets replanted. Jesus goes on to explain the parable himself. The field, he says, is the world. The Son of Man, Jesus, is the one going out and sowing good seed. The devil is the enemy who goes out and sows bad seed. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The bad seed is the children of evil. But like the weeds and the wheat, they are hard to tell apart until they begin to bear fruit. And what's more, they are linked together. And so there is no way in this time to separate them without killing them both. In this age, for the sake of Jesus Christ, God is allowing them both to continue to grow. But at the end of this age, when Jesus returns, all scandal, all causes of evil, and those who do lawless deeds will be burned. And the good will be gathered into the kingdom. Do you think that's true? Which do you have a harder time accepting? That some people are good or that some people are evil? I have a harder time thinking of people as evil. Do I really know anyone that I would call evil? Well, maybe there are a few people that I hear about when I'm watching the news or I read about in history, and I would call those people evil. But even in those cases, I find myself looking for causes for their behavior. And maybe it was the economic conditions they grew up in. Maybe it was their home. Maybe it was the culture, the time that shaped them this way. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I would say that in our culture, in our time, that we have a sense that people are basically good. And that given the right circumstances in life, they will choose good. Or maybe we are willing to say there is evil, but we would limit that to just a very few people. People who are obviously beyond redemption. In this story, Jesus says otherwise. Our world and each of us is a mix of good and evil. The evil in that mix affects our perception. It clouds our judgment. It is toxic, and eventually, it is lethal. One of the reasons we practice confession every Sunday is to make it public and to remind ourselves that we know we have sinned. We know we have the potential for evil in us. In fact, if it were not for Jesus, who saves us and transforms us, who teaches us and sets us free, if it were not for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we would be lost. So there is no room for us to judge another person, because evil is in us as well. There is no room for us to read the headlines and write anyone, no matter who they are, off completely. We are so ready to excuse and account for some people's sin, and so ready to demonize others. But this story suggests that good and evil are hard to tell apart until the plant begins to bear fruit, and they are linked together, and so there is no way of separating them without killing them both. Since there is this mix of good and evil in the world and inside us, is there any point in trying to do good? Is there any point in trying to make a difference in the world? If the world will always be a mix of good and evil, we should never expect lasting, unmixed results from our work. Is there any use in trying to work for good then? In this story, God persists in planting good in the world. And so if we take part in planting good, if we take part in doing what we can, we are joining in alongside God. Whether that's working on our own character or helping those in need or speaking up for justice, God is not one to waste time or effort. God always accomplishes what God means to do. And so any good that is done, as in the story, all of the good, will be gathered and it will be preserved. Nothing good that is will be lost. But God is the only one who can bring about this separation. He has sent Jesus Christ to accomplish this, and Jesus has promised to do this. So when we do good, when we work for good, we are saying to the world that no matter how bad things look, there is a better world coming. We are not necessarily trying to make this world a better place, because we know that good and evil will endure until Jesus' return. Rather, we are trying to make it obvious that a better world is indeed coming, that heaven is coming down to earth, that a new earth and a new heaven are going to be created. No matter how pointless, then, good work seems, it won't be lost, and it won't be in vain. However, if we look at human systems or institutions as a solution to the problem of evil, as an answer, as the hope of making the world a better place, at best we are going to be disappointed and disillusioned. But at worst, this is idolatry. A putting in place of government or a social net or education in the place of God. If working for good isn't pointless, how ought we go about working for good? The way that Darnell finally was eradicated in much of the developed world, was through herbicides and machinery. How does God deal with the field in this story? God does not show up to bring destruction. God is not ambivalent about the field, which Jesus says is the world. God is not hostile toward it. God is not holding back to see how things will turn out. Rather, Jesus Christ came to reconcile God with that field, with the world. In fact, Jesus united God and the world. And so God is dealing with the mix of good and evil with patience, forgiveness, hope, and grace. These are the tools, the implements that God farms that field. God is committed to the world and will harvest in the end all that is good. And yet, God is implacably opposed to evil. One day, evil will and must be wiped out. In the meantime, I hope that we will be creative in understanding the world that is coming, so that we will persist in trying to make it visible in how we live, in the sort of standards that we call for, in the way that we choose to live in the world, in the things that we invest our time in, so that people will have a picture of the coming kingdom. I hope we will set aside the misguided, although understandable, desire to make this world a better place for the sake of the world. I hope that we will let God plant God's word inside us, that we will let God's word dwell in our hearts and minds, that we will read of it, read the Bible, we will think about it, we will repeat it, we will listen to it. I pray that we will practice giving thanks no matter what is going on in our days, in our lives. I hope that we can be honest with one another and exhort one another to live good lives and holy lives, but always with the same gentleness and patience and mercy and grace that God approaches the world, with which God approaches the world. Because we are all in the same situation. I hope when we see other people doing things that we know are wrong, that we are saved from the temptation to speak as if they are less than human or beyond redemption, or that we are better than them. That instead we will look for chances to care for other people. That we will look for chances to put up with someone that we find hard to put up with because of our differences. You do a great job of putting up with me. Share that with others. Let us join God, the farmer. We are God's creation, and the world is God's field. And so let us look for ways, listening to the Holy Spirit, to go out and do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to set everything right. Amen.